I'd like to invite you this evening to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, being reminded once again that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this evening. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us, that we might hear from you, Lord, that you might be highly exalted, and that you might give us a better understanding of the salvation that you've given to us, and that you would empower our lives to be the witnesses of your great grace to one another, to our families, and to the world, Lord, that they might truly see the difference that you make. And we'll give you all the praise tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is a little bit lengthy, and that is found there in verse 10, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And that "with eternal glory" sometimes is left out, but God wants us to obtain the salvation. Obtain, right? That's what God wants to give to us. That's what he's provided for us, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so that's what the Lord wants us to have and wants us to enjoy. And "with eternal glory" is really easily overlooked and neglected. And this really deals, what is the eternal glory? That is nothing more than the grace of God. And that's the easy part to receive. We can all talk about the grace of God, and we know that that's unmerited favor. That's one of the first things that believers learn. We get all excited about God paying the whole price for us. And we can be so focused on that that we miss the complete truth and understanding of what God is saying to us. And God doesn't want us to overlook that. So it's very easy to take what is easy and to leave that alone, which costs us the blessing of God's daily blessings and power in our lives. And so we want to focus on three truths this morning concerning the eternal glory that God has provided for us in salvation. And that is, first of all, the strength of God's grace. And then secondly, the enlightenment of this life. And then lastly, an important consideration. So back up with me to verse 1, and let's consider the strength of God's grace, or where our strength comes from. Look at verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is where?" It's in Christ Jesus, right? That's where the grace comes from, and that's what God wants us to have, his grace with eternal glory. So we don't want to just proclaim an empty gospel. What does that mean, an empty gospel? No power. No power. Tomorrow, when they make us all switch over to electric cars, right, and we take a little trip somewhere, and we can't find a place to charge up. Isn't that the problem these days? And unless you're an important senator or something like that, then you can have your entourage, your gas-powered entourage, block the way and reserve a spot for you so you can cut in, and it doesn't matter if kids are crying inside the car, because that's what's going on. And so... That is really a lame idea, isn't it, really? But it's no less lame for the child of God to be proclaiming something with no power. No power. It doesn't get us anywhere. And here's the confusing part, I think. We're thinking of right and wrong. This is right, this is wrong. God is saying, here is life and here is death. If you look to the spirit, there's life. If you look to the flesh, there's death. And so he's not, obviously he's talking to the believer, he's not talking about eternal death, he's just talking about the absence of life. What's the absence of life? If there's no spirit, the body's what? It's dead, right? So God is wanting us to understand and tap into and to be excited about what he has provided for us in his power. And so again, he says, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then we want to take notice also in the strength of God's grace is the realization of God's grace working in us. Look at verse 2 and 3 here. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness
as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This grace that God gives the believer enables us to endure hardness. That doesn't mean that we go unscathed, but that God gives grace to go through difficult times. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus not feel the stripes that were given to him? Did he not feel the plaiting of the thorns? Yes, he felt all those things, but what enabled him to go through it was the grace of God. What enables believers to go through anything is the grace of God, not our strength. We don't have the strength to go. Listen, have you ever thought this in your whole life? Have you ever thought this? Boy, oh boy, if Christian persecution ever happens in America, I hope I won't turn tail and run. You ever thought that? Oh Lord, may I never forsake you. I hope that if persecution ever came into our country or in my lifetime, that I would not deny you. I've thought of that before. Well, listen, we don't have to worry about that if we're looking to one place. Yeah, amen. When the storm is howling, we need to keep our eyes and look to the Lord, because He is faithful. Let that sink in. It is His faithfulness to you and me that will enable us to go through any difficult trial or tribulation that we can go through. So many times I think we say, well, we're just going to toughen up. Well, that's not what God is wanting to. He'll let us come to our end. Peter was toughening up. Oh, Lord, they'll all forsake you. Man, he was toughening up. How'd it go for him? Not very well, did it? He failed. And you know what? We will fail also. If Peter failed, mark it down. He walked with the Lord personally. We will fail also. And so God says, don't look in that direction. The only way you're going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ is by the grace of God. Now we're going to look at something here that's very important, and that is the entanglement of this life. There is an entanglement. And look at verse 4 here. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, I just want to stop here just for a moment. And we are all called to be soldiers, are we not? I want to remind you of something. Listen to the charge the Lord gave to his New Testament church. Matthew 28:18 says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," right? Why? Because all power was given to him, and he cares for the church, right? That's his bride. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Well, obviously, he wasn't just speaking that to the apostles, because this promise was going to go beyond their lifetime. It's going to go to the end of the world. Listen, we don't have to worry about greenhouse gases. Amen? There is going to be global warming one day when the Lord sets this earth on fire and makes it brand new, but it's not what people are talking about today. So we don't have to fret and fear about what the world is saying. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord, on the mark, and with confidence go before the Lord and honor and glorify Him in His power and in His grace, and not get entangled, not getting all caught up in the things that would distract us. And there are things that would distract us. And I'm reminded of this. It was back many years ago I got certified when I was 16, but somewhere in my mid-20s for a few years, I really got into scuba diving. And we would do these drift dives. You'd go off about a mile, and you'd be in 80 feet of water, and you'd go down on the reefs, because that's where all the marine life was. And where all the marine life is, where all the fish are, guess what's also there? Fishermen. Fishermen go there. And monofilament line, the fishing line, is clear. Do you know why? So the fish don't see it. That's exactly why it's clear. But if the fish can't see it, guess who else can't see it? Divers can't see it. So they tell you, carry a dive knife. You know why? Because in 80 feet of water, you've got about 20 minutes of air with 3,000 PSI in your tank, right? 3,500, 4,000 if you get a 90 cubic tank, all right? But here's the thing. If you run out of air and you don't have a dive buddy, there's nobody there to help you. And you, if you get caught up in it and you can't see it and you can't get up, you're light under the water. You're not as strong as you are on top of the water. You figured that one out, right? And so guess those 110-pound or heavy deep-sea fishing lines, they'll keep a diver underwater. And so you don't want to be entangled. You want to be prepared to not be entangled. And that is, of course, you always have a dive knife. And the smart thing they tell you to do is never dive alone. Always dive with somebody else who can help you. And so we don't want to get entangled into things because, listen, they take the life of the Lord. They take the spiritual life out of us if we get entangled into the things that are passing away and we get our eyes off of that which brings forth life. Remember, God is all about bringing life, right? In the beginning, God created life. He brought life into the world, right? In the New Testament, the Gospel of John also says, in the beginning was the Word, amen, to bring what? Life. And so life comes through one place and one place only. That's it, Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And so we want to, and now he's telling believers that we need to walk in this life, not in death. Listen, I'm telling you, the natural flesh says, I'm going to do what's right, and there's nothing wrong in that, and what's wrong, but we forget about where the life is at, and we start trying to do what's right in our strength. What we need to do is look to the life of Christ, amen, and not look to ourselves, the flesh, because that brings forth death. And so, again, he's given the Great Commission to the church. Something else I want you to see, because we're looking at what we call a pastoral epistle here, and we're dealing with a letter from Paul by the Holy Spirit written to Timothy. But I want you to see something here in 2 Chronicles. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to come right back over here. I want to remind you of this. Chapter 5, verse 17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." And we all say, praise God, right? That's the believer. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry," who? All those who have been born again. "Have given to us the ministry of reconciliation," bringing people to Christ. Listen, that's what you and me are going to give an account for. I'm going to give an account for propagating the gospel. I'm going to give an account for preaching the gospel to God's church. And so I want you to know right up hand, I'm not going to be negligent to put you in remembrance of this. You're going to give an account one day, however you want to look at it, as how you allow the Lord to work through your life to be a witness and a testimony. And the only thing you have to do is seek God in it, and he'll lead you the rest of the way. Let him blow you away by saying, okay, Lord, I'm on board. Show me what to do. Amen? You lead, I'll follow. Show me how this works. See, as you read the word, as you seek the Lord in his word and through prayer, let God bring it to life. Amen? To where it's making a difference in your life every day. So he says this in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5. He says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." There's, once again, he's committed unto us, the believer. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled," reconciliation, "reconciled to God. Be committed to him. May he be the first commitment of our hearts and minds and of our lives. For he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made," listen, "the righteousness of God," that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's Christ. In him. God can do that by his grace in your life. That's what salvation was given. It was to give us eternal life, but it was to empower our life with the life of Christ. That's the bottom line, and that is so emphatically important that we seek God in that and say, Lord, show me more about what you're talking about. All right, so look at verse 5, back in our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, and what God calls lawful. Look at verse 5. "And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Well, what does that mean, striving lawfully? Well, let's look at what God is saying this lawful striving is all about. Ready? "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the" what? "Fruits." Of the fruits. Well, what are the fruits? The fruits of the Spirit. right? The gentleness, the kindness, in all kinds of situations, that's what the light of God is into the world. When we have peace when there is no peace, when God can take you through situations, and you know, if you look back in your life, if you've been in the Lord any length of time, you've gone through things that God has brought you through. And you look back, and I didn't say that you didn't grieve. I didn't say that you didn't go through difficulty. But, you know, you look back and you say, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't have made it through that one. Amen? And God wants to do that in every situation and circumstance in our life. That is His light in us that the world will take note of. But we've got to be focused on Him. We can't be entangled and distracted. We can't be looking at other things and neglect that the entanglements of this world will trap us and we will suffocate. Amen? We won't be able to get the air, amen, that God wants us to have, the life that He wants us to have that's in Him. All right? So He says, we have to be partakers of the fruits first. Let us seek to be partakers, Lord. I can't do this for you. I'm just telling you, it's up to you. If you have an interest, if you really love the Lord, then it's up to you, right, to seek God in explaining and revealing and showing you personally how to do this, because you and me are going to stand for our own lives. Does that make sense? Listen, I'm not trying to get anybody afraid at all. More importantly, listen, Jesus is not wanting anybody to be afraid. Jesus is saying, don't miss out on the glorious life that I paid for. I've given you eternal life. I've given you a home in heaven. But don't you want to experience my joy I give unto you? My peace, not the peace of the world. If we do this, we'll have peace. If we do that, we'll have peace. Really? Really? How long have they been singing that tune? Since the beginning of the fall. Amen? We'll do this, we'll do that, and it won't matter. Yes, it does matter. So God says, don't get entangled with the way that the world is going. Realize that God has given to us something much greater. And so that's what God says is lawful. And then he goes on here, and we're going to look at now the last thought, and that is an important consideration here. Look at verse 7 with me. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee what? And how many things? That's another word for revelation. The Lord's going to give you understanding. That's the aha moment, right? Oh, I see it now. I see it. I understand that now, right? Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Listen to this. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Is Paul suffering? Yeah, he's saying, I'm suffering, right, as an evildoer, and he's not an evildoer. But he says, I suffer trouble, in verse 9, as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Listen to this, but the word of God is not bound. Amen. That means the gospel, the word of God, can minister to us as we serve the Lord. It's not bound. The promises of God can never be withheld from any of God's people. Amen? Any of God's children. And notice this, verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And that's our text right there. So there's trouble, but there's endurance. Did you see that? We're selling God short on this. Here's what we're doing. We're looking to the flesh for strength. This is right, this is wrong, instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is our life. Instead, we look to, okay, now what I'm going to do, this is right, and I'm not going to do that, that's wrong. That won't last us. That is not the life of Christ that God is asking us to seek. We're trying to figure out, okay, I love the Lord, and so I'm going to do this. Peter loved the Lord too. And he said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. We will end up in the same failure. Did Peter finally get victory in his life? Now, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but did God use him to his honor and glory? God's word is not saying, if you will do this, you will glorify me. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, look to me and I'll give you the victory. And so we need the Lord to give us understanding. I need God's understanding. I don't want to walk contrary to what the Word of God is saying. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. I don't want to impress myself with what I do for God. I want to be impressed by what God is doing for me. That's where the difference is at. We're either going to look to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, Almighty God, what a privilege that I can even talk to you and that you have promised to empower my life. Is God's power falling, us falling into sin? Is that how he glorifies himself? No. No. Paul was telling that to the Romans. Listen, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So then shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. We've been crucified. We've got the new life he's talking about that enables us to not submit ourselves to sin and to have the victory. So don't settle for your best. Look to God's best. Don't settle for what you think. Look to what God is saying. Amen? Don't settle for what you think you can and cannot do. We're not looking to Jesus. We're looking to what's right and wrong. And by the way, truth, here it is. If you're looking to yourself and you're doing good, God's not impressed with that at all. God's not impressed with our works even after salvation. We will never make it like that. But God says, if you look to me, and it's not, it's just, God brings us into this realm of existence with him that is, oh my goodness, just a scratch of the surface is amazing to see God working in our lives. And when we walk in that way, the Holy Spirit is flowing. If we're sinning, is the Holy Spirit flowing? No. If we're failing, is the Holy Spirit? No, we're stifling it. You know why? Our eyes are on the wrong object. I believe God's word more than what I think. How about you? Amen? I believe God's promises more than how I feel. I want to look to God's supreme authority. If God says it, that ends my argument. And then if God says it, then I've got to step back and say, if I'm clashing with what God has said, something's wrong in my thinking. And then I say, Lord, make it right in my mind, because I know that you're right and I'm wrong. I'm not even challenging God when I see a conflict there. I just stop and say, I'm wrong. Show me your way. Amen. So tonight, here's the promise. Ready? That they, the redeemed, may also obtain the salvation, this is in verse 10, which is in Christ Jesus, and he's talking to saved people, obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's God's promise. And listen, God's faithfulness is not dependent upon ours. Because if we're unfaithful, he's faithful still. So see, if we're not careful, we're saying, oh, I don't know that I can approach God. God says, if you're covered by the blood, you've got access. You've got access. The devil, the flesh, and your mind is the only one that will keep you from accepting and believing the promise of God, because he's faithful. So tonight, God says, come to me and taste and partake and enjoy like you've never enjoyed before. Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your promise, for your word. May we not lean to our own understanding, Lord, but in all our ways acknowledge you and allow you to direct our lives. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.